Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Find a fresh take on a fall getaway to Wilmington, North Carolina and beaches. Enjoy hiking trails in a state park, fresh seafood with a side of live music and fall festivals galore. Then live it up along the Riverwalk in Wilmington's historic downtown. With three island beaches, Carolina, Curie and Wrightsville, and a vibrant downtown, you get the best of the Carolina coast all in one place. Plan your fall getaway at wilmingtonandbeachesvacation.com.
Yo, yo, 2021 people, happy new year. Podcast start again, and I'm happy to bring you this one. Had to get my homie Born Dirty on, didn't I? One of my best mates, and I love him to bits. We rambled on for 2.5 hours about life and music and all the things in between. It was a beautiful catch up. I hope you enjoy it. Without further ado, Born Dirty.
What's up?
What's up, baby? We're live.
How you doing, man?
Happy New Year, man. How are you?
Oh, yeah, shit. Fucking hell. I'm great. it's great. I'm great. It's like a battle of... The New Year thing is always a battle for me because it's always like... I do not give a shit about the new year. I don't. Like, it's like another day that is just part of like a way bigger cycle than this small cycle that we decided to have. But then equally, it's like there's a part of me that is like, stop being a cunt and just accept that, you know, it's nice to have these cycles as well and just kind of like reset and focus on what you've been doing for a year. Which is absolutely jack shit.
Yeah, you texted me the other day and was like, you were like, been in the studio, and I was like, damn, dude, you're writing some good stuff. And you were like, yeah, I haven't done anything for 7 months. It's about time.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's literally didn't do anything. I mean, you know, sat here, tried this, tried that, and but. My heart and my guts were not in the right place. We're not in the place of making music, which was pretty scary for me. Not because of that, because that happens to everybody at one point. You know, it's just that's another type of cycle we go through, but creativity, but the length of how long I didn't want to do it for. And that was scary.
Yeah, dude, that would fucking freak me out.
I was freaked out, and then you go into this like vicious cycle, which is just like, oh shit, I'm not worth it. This, I'm ashamed. I'm feel guilty. Like, why can't I just do what I'm supposed to do? And then it comes back, and you're like, oh,
there it is.
Yeah, I just needed to accept it. I just needed to roll with that and in the most healthy way. And that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
I feel that. I'm kind of the opposite type of person to you. But right now, I was so fed up with just trying to force it that I'm just like, forcing myself to actually take time out.
Yeah.
I just like had this like shit time dealing with certain records that just dealing with fucking people, man.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
Like dealing with people and I think the thing that I've realized for me is like, that I realized during lockdown, for me to write better music, I have to like work harder, but I also have to have other people involved. Mm. And that's people that are better at certain things than what I'm better at, if you know what I mean. And I think it's actually totally fine to get other people involved because I'm not going to be the best at everything, if you know what I mean. I'm going to be good at certain things and get better at other things, but
yeah,
there's going to be some people that are much better at certain things than I am. And when for me, like when other people come into the picture, it just makes so much more hassle. And then I realize why I've done it for so long by myself, because the minute you add something else into the picture, it just gets fucking hard work.
Not always, but it gets harder.
Yeah.
But I think because I've worked with so many vocalists, just let's take vocalists.
Yeah,
just vocalists alone. I've worked with so many back in the days,
yeah,
and some, you know, was great, whatever, but it taught me on some occasion how stressful it is to deal with everyone's ego. There is mine, the management, the thing, the this, the that. It's all that is absolutely like cluttering the
beautiful creativity
that we're all supposed to do.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it very often flips on its head, like, what is this for? Where is it coming out? When is it coming out? What's my percentages? Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, I get it. Like, I understand we're also in the business.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, totally.
I'm not going to compare it to anything. We get it. Like, it's a business too. And it's a great one to be in too. But today, what I do is just like, I'm really clear when I work with anyone. Firstly, I'm like, let's jam.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, let's make a record, needs to come out, this, blah, blah, blah. No. Let's jam. Like I used to when I was younger, we used to fucking make music just because.
Just for it.
It didn't have to come out anywhere, and it didn't.
Yeah.
God knows the fucking thousands of fucking tracks that were never going to see the light of day.
Yeah.
Just because it was just jamming. And that is just like the essential. I want to get back to that as much as possible.
I totally agree with you. For me, 2020, I've actually loved it. It has been fucking great for me.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do, is like start to enjoy writing music again. Get that feeling of like when you've written something fucking amazing, you're like, yes, I've done it.
While you're writing.
Yeah.
And you're like, feeling, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah. And you're so excited. You're like, oh my God, this is just fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I think I've lost that. Definitely lost that.
I think we often lose this energy because we're going towards the business way more. We're tilting the balance in such a way that it doesn't make sense to our creativity anymore. It's just like everything's mechanical, everything's math, everything's just like purposeful, which is like really like the opposite of everything true creativity should be about. Like to me. Not to everybody, but to me, it's just like, fuck, man, I really missed it. And then to come back to the last few weeks, 2+ weeks now, I've been in this fucking studio just having fun. like yeah. not thinking this is for now, this is for this. Yeah, I picked up some Born Dory track or some side project tracks, and so it kind of has like a lane, if that makes sense. But other than that, I'm like, fuck, let's just blah 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 and pull all the fucking analog synths up. You know, usually I'm lazy, I'm like, oh, just VSTs, fine, I got the Arturia, don't want to fucking plug this thing, blah, blah, blah. Fuck no, like all week. It was like yesterday I did a fucking keyboard solo on the fucking on my Korg. I was like, what the fuck? I haven't done that in so long.
Yeah, man.
Do you know what I mean?
I was just
the track I sent you is just like that fucking solo is on this shit. And yeah. I was just like, I would have not made that on something else.
Yeah, the track you sent me is insane. Insane. Like, you know when you listen to someone's records and you're like, oh my god, I hate them. that was one of them, because it's like, especially when it's your mate, it fucks you off even more because it's so good. And then like, it's like a record that I listen to, I would like, this is the sort of stuff I listen to on a day-to-day basis. It's like,
yeah.
And then I'd go and try and make that and just fail massively.
I didn't know if you would like it. I literally only sent it to the person I remixed it for, and then you.
Yeah.
That's it for now.
It's dope. I really like it. The vocals are cool as well.
Yeah, vocals are dope. I'll send you the original. It's beautiful. I mean, the original is like stunning.
Yeah.
It's such a record that it's going to be timeless. His original. It's Lyndon J.
Yeah. Your remix though is timeless. The remix is timeless, man. It's
wicked.
It's wicked. It's fucking
yeah.
Great.
Thank you. I think I'm just gonna. What I love about it is I made it in
seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I was basically the. So I've been enjoying getting high again.
That's oh shit!
Yeah.
Shit.
What's
happened?
We need to talk about too. It's all connected. It's just like, I think I'm slowly getting in a place of, and it all goes in waves.
Crack is a hell of a drug, isn't it, mate?
Slowly coming back to my old self. Oh, dude. We're not going to dive deep into the old days drinking water, but no, I've been enjoying like edibles.
Yeah,
I don't like smoking, but been, you know, traveling. Like I did a few things. Like when I went to Arizona on my own, and I went to Nevada on my own, and then I got some edibles and I did some there, and then I was just like, whoo, I was fucked, because, you know, I'm not used to it anymore, but I was fucked. Like, literally, Noah was like, just take half of the sweets. They're fucking tasty. That's the problem. They're tasty sweets. They're so tasty. So anyway, I had half, thinking I'd be fine, because she was like, I can eat four. She gets high. So I was just like, okay, cool. I had half. And then that's when I was in Vegas. Out of my body, I was literally on the sofa suddenly. And I was like, if my body's here, myself was outside right here. I was fucking fucked. And I was like, wow, that's too much. I was like, that's intense. I didn't want that. And so I didn't take any for a while. And then back here, started getting back like to a good rhythm and in a good mood or whatever. And then I was like, fuck it. You know, I'm just like, I bought this awesome fucking game, like Jedi. It's like a Star Wars ship. It's fucking sick.
Oh, I love your life. Our lives are so opposite. And you're like 10 years older than me. And I'm like, I wish I could have that life.
I'm telling you, it's all what you decide to be and to do. So I was like, let's pop like a little THC edible in my face. Boom. And I'm high all fucking day. I'm like, woo, playing the game, loving it. I'm like having a blast. And then suddenly I'm like restless. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm restless. And the day before, sorry. And then I was just like, I told him, I said, I'm restless. I'm just going to go in the studio, maybe play some other games or maybe do whatever. I just need to be in a different room. So I got here. I sat and then I looked and I was high. And then I was just like looking at my sessions and I was like, oh no, I don't want to work in on any of this shit. No, no. I was stressing out about looking at all these sessions that I have on my computer that they were not finished. Gave me anxiety. And then I saw the stems for the Linden track that I've asked him fucking months ago and he sent it. And I was just like, I mean, you know, fucking dragging, didn't do any music. I was like, oh, I could try that. And then boom. And then in 2 hours, slammed that. I was like, wow. And I was, you know, it was fucking crazy. I'm sorry, I'm dragging here. But the fact that I was high as fuck, I was listening to some of the, it was like I was hearing the frequencies differently because I know that's how I used to when I used to fucking smoke a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
The writing I do when I'm high is entirely different than the writing I will do when I'm not. It's two separate persons. And that's what happened because I write fast. I go straight into the zone, into what makes me feel good and what needs to be there. Instead of like what needs to be there, I just go with what I fucking feels amazing.
Feels right.
And then I woke up, had breakfast early in the morning, blah, 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 did my shit, sat here, tweaked it, done.
Smashed it.
I mean, you know, and then I'm still working on Born Dirty tracks that are like fucking 10 years old.
Yeah.
Like that were from other projects that I brought in there and are changing the mix again and changing this again. No, that has to stop. That has to be
it's
done.
It's so strange because we were talking about this the other night and I'm like on this other tip where I would smash a record out in like a couple of hours and be gone and release it. And now I'm like, no, I have to make these better. I have to like perfect these records. I have to keep going. I have to keep pushing and getting them better and make them better as good as I could possibly get and take them in different directions and see if I can make a better version of this record and do that. But what I'm finding is that I'm just losing the vibe, losing that initial vibe. And this isn't to blame manager Ryan at all, but he's like, dude, just push yourself harder. Like keep pushing. Yeah. And it's a really interesting process because he's pushed me on remixes that I've done that have came out much better that I would never have pushed myself on. And now I'm just trying to push myself to that next level. But there's something about that. All of my best records have come out from that first like 2 hour session, and you come out of the studio and being like, I cannot wait to get back in the studio tomorrow and finish this.
Yeah, but isn't this like the actual point of making music?
What it's about, right?
That's what it's about. It's not about like what comes out of you is what's your true instinct.
Yeah.
If you are just like purely going into your lane at that moment, yeah, like we said, this is not like it is a blank canvas, but it's not like you're making, you know, trance, although you are, but yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
work,
but you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, you're going to make a techno track or a, you know, whatever around that. That's the lane, but the initial energy that comes out of you is what really matters. And sometimes it's absolutely fucking shit.
Yeah,
and that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. And then moving on, it's not like, oh, let me just like make this shit sound better.
Yeah.
No, it's just like, okay. Just keep going. But the thing is, you're going to spend that initial energy. It doesn't mean you shouldn't spend a week on the track. It doesn't mean you shouldn't spend a month on the track. It just means that if you have something really good,
you don't need
the more
to
you're
going to
listen to it, the more you're going to eventually want to change it. It's normal, but it's not changing that you want to do. It's create something new.
Yeah.
So you need to move from this track and create something new instead of creating something new and changing. Because that's what I do with my all my Born Day tracks. And that's why I don't release that much music, because I'm constantly changing them.
Yeah.
And that's wrong. That for me, it's definitely
I agree, man. I was just scrolling through Instagram and DJ Dion just fucking put some badass ghetto shit out. And I was like,
yeah,
oh shit, I miss making this. Like,
yeah,
it's the simplest records. Like, it's literally like a kick, a hat, an 808, and like some fucking twerky synth and
some dusty fucking
some gangster saying suck my dick, bitch, and but it sounds great.
I know, but because these are the fucking records, these are the fucking bombs.
I'm gonna see if I can play it because it's so good.
Yeah, go on. I also miss doing like, well, that's the thing, like now I think I'm going back to that. That's, yeah, no, I was, did you find it? We can't really hear it.
Can you just hear it?
I could hear it. No, it's gone.
It's gone. Sorry, people. I can't really.
All I heard is suck my dick.
Yeah.
Suck my dick.
Check it out. It's gong, on, gong. It's gong, on Dion's gong. Instagram. But I'm like, oh yeah. It's just going in and having fun. I feel like this year I've just, like, as the year's gone on, I'm just like trying to do something. I'm trying to like get somewhere and achieve something and write a track that's gonna change my career and shit like that, and then forgetting that the tracks that change your career are the ones that you don't try and make
in general. But there's also no rules. I think like what I really absolutely adore about you is like your dedication to your goals and your clear mind of like what you gotta be doing. And that's like, I fucking envy that, like, straight up, because I'm like, we said, yeah, we're very opposite like that. I'm like, I mean, I only read 5 pages of this so far. I'm getting shit for it, by the way, but anyway.
Yeah, I bet you are.
It's the goals are like that you have is just so clear, and you know what you're doing, da da da. So making that, trying to make that record that is amazing and, you know, huge vocal like this, it's not easy to make these tracks.
No,
it's not easy. Firstly, we need the vocalists, we do, and then
you need the writers as well. You need the song.
You need the writing to be banging, da da da. But then it's just like, then you turn left and then you look what comes out and what bangs and what becomes really big. And you're like, I would have never written that. Yeah. Never in my life. Do you know what I mean? So I think what's going to mostly resonate with everyone and the most is what is true. What's your true self, yeah, you know?
I think being back in the UK for the whole year, or since March, like the music here is so different compared to over in America. But I think in America, it's just, you're just in your own little bubble. Whereas here, like, I listen to radio more here. Like, there's more influences of music around me.
Yeah.
And like going to the gym, like, the gym music is so different to American gym music, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, everything's just EDM.
It's not, well, in the gym in Detroit, they play like hip hop and like rock.
Yeah.
And like, they don't even know what hip hop is where I live. Like, yeah, it's straight up just not something.
And they're still playing Portishead.
Yeah, literally.
Everyone depressed.
To be fair, I'd actually love it if they played Portishead.
Oh god,
I would get sweat on.
Still top three artists. It's my favorite artist of all time.
Did I tell you I saw Massive Attack in Detroit?
No.
Yeah, mate. I saw them in, oh my god, what's the venue? I'm sorry, Detroit. I forgot the venue name. But it's like the iconic venue in Detroit. But I saw them, yeah, just over a year.
Oh, is it the big
Masonic,
ass,
the Masonic big... temple?
Oh, yeah, the temple. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Dude,
I play there. But anyway, tell me.
Oh, check you out. It's actually a cool venue to play in it.
Cool and scary, I'll tell you. There's some ghosts in that shit.
There is up in the rooms.
Yes.
It's fucking crazy.
For real.
Yeah, it's like
we ran at one point. I'm telling you.
Well, it's the Masonic it's the Masonic temple, so it's like where the I don't quote me if I'm wrong, but like the Mason, is it the Masons?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, like the that's some
sacrifices and
that's some white shit, baby. That is some
fucked up shit, dude. Anyway, so tell me of a massive attack instead.
They were insane and extremely political. They're like visuals were just so political on like another level. I didn't really know what to expect. But it was interesting to like see them in their like a band from my hometown and then in my second hometown watching them. It's kind of amazing. And
it is amazing. Yeah. When was that though?
November last year. Not last year, the year before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn sick.
Yeah, it was amazing. Oh, who's at the door?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably just the wind. She's losing it.
ADHD dogs.
Oh God. We just found out her breed as well, like yesterday. And it's just like, it makes all sense. She's like 80% like a guard dog, which we obviously knew from some sort, but she's full on. She's just full on.
Batshit crazy.
Pretty much. She's just on alert all the time.
Yeah,
like even when she's outside chilling, she's like, you could tell she's like left, right, up, down, this branch move, this fucking wind. And she sees shit that we don't and hears shit that we don't, so it's, you know, we're like, she's crazy, but she probably heard 100 things we didn't hear. You know, so
fucking dogs, man.
Anyway, but yeah, man, I miss these days of the old Bristol scene and, you know, the trip up scene, that was the golden age of like amazing electronic music that just started to come out.
I was actually talking to my parents the other day and my dad was like, is there any, like from when you were like school, is there any like iconic songs or bands that like remind you of your time at school? And I'm like, there are loads, but the music, like comparing the music from then, and I know my parents compared their music from now, and I think every generation will do this.
Yeah. But
the music now, a lot of the music coming out, the popular music that was, because we had popular music, like bands were big when I was growing up, like Red Hot Chili Peppers, Linkin Park, Green Day, they were Blink 182. They were all like huge bands.
Wow. You're referencing a lot of
trash
that I did not listen to.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the thing.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, yes, but the rest, no.
Yeah, and Linkin Park, man. They were the ones for me.
Yes. Sorry. I never listened to them because they were too commercial for cool young Mika, but this is like, they were massive and amazing lyrics.
This was before I was cool, man. So
you were never cool, bro.
I'm still not, bro.
Still secretly listening to like Blink 182 or whatever the name of the band is.
I listened to them for like nostalgia, like when you're with the lads driving somewhere in the car and they put Blink 182 and you're like, yeah, this is the days.
Oh,
man.
God.
This is the days.
No.
You've got that, man. Come on, what's yours?
Oh, fuck. I mean, when it came to bands and anything with, like, I was only listening to good shit. So I don't know.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
I mean, I think the worst, like, that I probably did was, like, Vanilla Ice.
And then
which was a banger, that track, but I've never listened to anything else. And then, fucking, what was this track? You remember this Transformer?
Oh, the like reggae kind of.
It was like a reggae, like absolute fucking.
Did that go into Jungle?
It was called Informer, but I can't fucking remember. Informer.
Let me try this out. Anybody that's listening, go.
Informer.
Yeah, I remember that. Informer.
Snow. Can you hear this? It's pretty dope. Why don't I remember this being? It's pretty poppy.
That's a tune.
It is a tune. No, I don't know, man. I really like, I have listened to some pop stuff, but I think they were mostly like French and like, and I don't mean pop, like I love pop music. I really fucking love pop.
Were you like Bob Sinclair's biggest fan?
No. No. You know, the thing is where you can't. I was really heavy in the grunge scene, and I was heavy in the 70s stuff. You know, I was really heavy because the grunge scene was a lot based on the 80s and the 70s. And so it's just, I got lucky to, my teenage years were like, you know, the classics, stuck in the fucking Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd. All the grunge scene, and then all the fucking, I love the goth scene. I fucking love that dark and minimal shit, you know? Like, it was just like two fucking three chords, like really fucking shitty productions, and really like everyone's depressed, everyone should die. I love that shit.
That's what crack does to you people.
Fucking Bauhaus and stuff like that.
I was never into it. I was never like... Yeah, I was never that cool kid.
You just loved like Blink 182, and that's fine.
Faithless were the ones for me, man.
Yeah, but Faithless is and
Chemical Brothers.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, we're talking about like things that are not so good.
Chemical Brothers.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying like Faithless and Chemical Brothers are fucking legends.
Yeah.
I mean, so are Blink 182, but it's like really, I never connected.
Yeah,
with it.
It's shit at the end of the day.
So sorry, guys. Like, maybe some people fucking love it, but I just really never connected with it.
I'll allow it.
It's kind of like if you grew up and listened to The Clash and fucking all the fucking, you know.
That's what I grew up with, Dad.
That's what I mean. Like,
my dad loved it. We still listen to it at dinner.
The Clash, yeah?
Yeah.
Because it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
But that's the thing. I don't feel like there's that around anymore.
Band-wise, I don't know. Because I'm completely disconnected. I'm sure there are bands that are amazing and changing the game.
Yeah.
I'm sure. There must be. It's just I'm not in the indie rock scene anymore, which it's stupid because it's one of my favorite type of music.
But it's weird because back then that was what was in the charts. That was what was popular. That was pop music then. But now it's not. It's all Cardi B.
Yeah, it's Cardi B. Yeah.
What's changed, man?
I mean,
do you think it will come back? Comes back always, right?
I mean, I don't really care what's in the charts. I don't. I mean, I know it influences the masses and therefore it influences like more. But, you know, it's mad to look back and look what used to be in the charts and what's now. But it's dope. I love that hip hop is crushing. I love hip hop like taking over. It's been taking over for a fucking long time now.
It took over.
You know, it was one of the biggest. The thing is, it was one of the biggest genre of music. It was just not given the opportunity to actually be bigger than what it could have been and what it is now. Basically,
I don't know though. I think it did have, I think it did have a huge impact on the world, but more so America. Like, even from the beginning, it was so big that no one could get away from it.
Yeah, but it wasn't like the top 10, five artists on the whatever charts will be, you know, hip-hop artists. It would be like one band or, you know, like another, whatever. It will always be like someone really big, but not like... There weren't that many. That's the thing. Not that much, as much as today. I mean, just can't compare. But, you know, hip-hop was huge everywhere. And I remember being really huge. Like, I was massive on the hip-hop UK scene, you know. As soon as I moved to London, like, was 1997 or 8. And
dude, guess what? I was 8. I'm then. Old.
Yeah, you were 8. Yeah, listen to fucking Blink whatever you listen to. To the fucking whatever. I don't know. I don't even know what you listen to when you're 8 years old. But the UK scene was deep. Deep. The UK hip-hop scene.
I remember Skinny Man
was sick. Roots Maneuver changed the game.
So
I mean, bro, like Roots, I literally got Roots Maneuver first album like on Ladbroke Grove, like that he made like down the street, you know. And we were all like, yeah, it's the dude down the street making this dope album that became like fucking legendary. There were many. Oh, so the what?
When you just hear well, and you're just like, oh wow,
well, his fucking his voice, man, and all the collabs he's done after that, all the, you know, cinematic orchestra to
so good. Yeah.
But that's this era, bro.
Yeah,
all so that good. Time. The thing is, I always say, I got really fucking lucky because I went through all these new genres that were just coming out of like nowhere, like, and you know, just doing these hybrid shit. And when you 20 years ago, 25 years ago, and before in London, in the UK, all these influences, all these cultures that were clashing in a good way and creating these like fucking sounds that no one's ever heard before. That was very powerful to be part of that when it happened.
What do you think it is about the UK with its music? Because it is insane how much of a small country it is and small population in the grand scheme of the rest of the world and the power it's had on the rest of the world.
The thing is, most of the music that we love is based on rebellion.
Yeah.
And so the UK really fucking had it, like, with the government and the fucking royalties and all that, especially at the back of the 70s, coming into the 80s, everyone was sick of it.
Yeah.
And Thatcher and all that shit, everyone was like fucking hating. Damn. So what happened is also England colonized many
the world.
Yeah, the entire world, you know, hand in hand with France and, you know, Holland and Portugal and Spain. But what happened is, it's like when a lot of the Caribbean culture arrived in England.
Yeah.
That obviously like came with all the culture, which was, you know, the food, the music, everything. And then so what happened at one point, I believe, is just that the punk scene that was completely against, you know, basically Babylon, like what the, you know, the reggae dub scene was, you know, it wasn't dub yet, it was purely reggae then, was also bringing to the UK with them. They realized that they were doing the same thing and then they were fighting for the same causes and stuff like that. And then that's when this amazing thing happened where ska, punk, and reggae, well, basically punk and reggae started to become ska. They were using the reggae like rhythms, and then they turned it into the punk scene. And then all you would go to parties, which I didn't. I, you know, I read the books, saw the videos. I'm old, but not that old. But I didn't get to see that, which I would have loved to.
Yeah.
You know, to get to fucking punk parties or like fucking underground parties, and it would just be like amazing, like mix of cultures. And that, I think, the UK was very, very lucky to have that, because from that emerged all the fucking multiple types of sounds. And from that we got the jungle, because, you know, that was like the reggae tunes and the funk tracks that were just basically the speed that shit up, and then, you know, became jungle, and then we had the fucking drum and bass, and then they slow it down, and then it became garage, and then it, you know, took the hat, the snares off and put them in different place, and then it became dubstep, and then it's just all fucking connected. And all that, it was just like because of the multitude of cultures that were just like clashing together.
Yeah,
fucking love that. And in France we have that too, and then because of all the cultures that are in France, and, you know, I know we created some of the fucking, but as much as the French scene has had like really some types of music that were really like, you could say, oh shit, that's like the French Dutch or the French sound or whatever, mostly it's all UK.
Yeah.
You know, it's all UK shit.
It's the one thing I wish I kind of got more involved in growing up, is like the free party rave kind of scene. But it was kind of out when I was growing up. It's kind of, it's still around, but it's not what it was about back in the day. And the music kind of changed a lot, but I would have loved to have been around like with the like Junior Boyzone kind of era, and just kind of seeing all these insane like underground techno parties, really. But it wasn't even techno, it was just fucking, it was just dance music.
It wasn't techno.
No,
I used to go that's where I used to start going raving, and it was with like spiral tribes and all the they weren't even underground. Underground was even like not something they would even.
It wasn't even a word.
It was more than that.
It was a community. It was a community. It was a movement.
It was a community, and it was just like a massive fuck you to like everything, because it was free. And these guys were like straight up. I mean, they were making money a certain way, which don't have to fucking mention. But they were doing everything for free, bringing all their gear, and they were going around Europe. And I got really lucky because they were coming to south of France as well. And all my mates were way older than me. So when I was 15, 16, my mates were like 20, 25.
Yeah.
And they were throwing raves in the forest, in the mountains, because we have all that. And I remember seeing these dudes, like, not even just my mates, but like the guys that when we would go and see this, you know, Spiral Tribes, and I can't remember all the names now, but
I'm gonna Google some as you're talking.
Yeah, the fucking raves, bro. They were like, first of all, it was all vinyl, obviously.
Yeah,
all vinyl.
Wait, what's vinyl?
Yeah, exactly. It's this thing that you put inside the CDJ. wouldn't it be funny if they created like CDJs this big where you put the vinyl inside? It'd be sick.
Pioneer, hit them up.
Pioneer, guys, let's do it. You know, it reads the fucking thing for you, and then you get all the fucking titles, but from the vinyl. That'll be sick. Actually, I that would be terrible. Scratch that, because the most beautiful thing about the vinyl is to put your hand on it.
So
the parties there were fucking wild. It was all vinyl. It was 3-4 days non-stop.
Dude, move away from your mic a little bit. It's distorting.
Three, four days nonstop. And then I remember, like, it was hardcore, acid core, fucking, like, side stages often were like jungle. It was like, bro, like, it was fast. You would get fucking slammed.
Yeah.
You know, it was fucking sick. I loved acid core. It was my fucking shit. I fucking loved it.
It was hard. It was hard.
It's really hard. It's like 180 BPM.
Yeah.
180 BPM with some fucking crazy, like, acid shit.
That's was like amazing. Lil Texas vibes now.
Yeah. Dude. And people were like booing the DJs if they were making mistakes. It was fucking ruthless. It was, as much as it was incredible, the vibes were also very ruthless. Like, everyone was dancing, everyone was in the zone. No one gave a shit what the DJ looked like. They didn't give a shit what people thought they looked like, whatever. Yeah. But they only cared about how they were DJing. And if they were making mistakes and the vinyl will start to move a little bit from mixing two fucking records at 180 BPM on two vinyls, high as fuck, it's like, you know. And then they'll make mistakes and people will be like, boo, boo, and come to the fucking face of the DJ, be like, what are you fucking doing, bro?
That's just
like,
French people up. That's just French people,
ruthless. That's how we grew up, bro.
That's how you roll. I remember one of my ex-girlfriends, she was like a proper partier, and she took me to a free party in Maidstone. And it was the old abandoned leisure center, and they'd obviously broke in and just like turned it into this massive rave. And like, they were playing like hard house, and I was not into the hard house, but the amount of ketamine people were on was just on another level. And it almost kind of got to the point where it was like, this isn't about the party now. This is just about getting high as fuck. And yeah. I think for me, there's like, obviously I don't drink or anything like that, but there comes a point where it's like, I don't have an issue with people getting fucked up or taking drugs or anything like that. But when the getting high is more important than going to party and listen to the music and experience the music, that's when it's not worth it. For me, it doesn't create a good atmosphere. There was more people getting high than listening to the music than in the actual room where the DJs were playing. And you're like, well, what's the point in this? Like, you can just do this at home if you want.
Yeah. I remember clearly at one point being with all the mates, we were like, always looking for drugs, always looking, going to raves, always, like, whether we didn't get it before, we would definitely try to get it at the party. And then if we would spend most of the night looking for the fucking gear instead of just enjoying the night.
Yeah.
And that really was shitty.
I think that's a younger thing though, right?
Probably is, yeah. Right. I mean, I was really young for sure, but...
I remember going out partying with mates and all they're out to is just get fucked up, which I think is a younger thing.
But the thing is, it's not about getting fucked up. Getting fucked up, great. Getting fucked up on good drugs, great. Getting fucked up on good drugs with good music, amazing. Yeah. Amazing experience. But spending all your fucking energy looking for this, you know, looking for whatever you're looking, that's taking away from, I think, the music. If you can't interact with the music without the drugs, then it's a tough one. It's a tough one because also you've never done drugs, right? Or have you?
No.
You've never done anything?
No.
Nothing at all?
Nothing at all.
You sound like you're lying. You're lying, bro. I know people. I know when they're talking shit.
No, nothing at all.
I'm calling you out right here. You're going to have to stick to the fucking script here, I bet. But offline, you're going to have to tell me. That sounds like a lot of bullshit. You had a little, you know, we'll look back at the video. You had a, when I asked you the question, your face went like, brrr.
A little smile.
Yeah. They were like, ching, 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 ching. Yeah. But, yeah, no, what I was going to say is, once you've tapped into listening to any type of music, particularly repetitive music, could be any type, doesn't have to be even electronic, that mantra that comes with something repetitive, even if it's just a kick, even if it's just a vocal that repeats the same thing, that does the same thing, when you are, you can obviously do it without any drugs, and you can get to this meditative, amazing place where it just gives you this entire new perspective on something. But when you're fucked on something really clean and really good, especially I've done LSD was my thing, and you tap into these repetitive patterns and music and whatever, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that it's hard to come back from that. It's hard to then be like, oh, I'm just going to go and listen to music without doing it, because it's so incredible. It's like being in another world.
Yeah, I've never experienced that on drugs. So I've never been to a club on drugs.
Yeah.
Like, I've never experienced, like, yeah, I guess just drinking alcohol, which isn't the same. So it's like...
It isn't.
I think this is, like, my first experience of a club was when I was like a club, not like a concert or anything, but a club. My first experience is when I was DJing, which is why I would never choose to go to a club and just go rave, because I've just never had that experience, because I'm just like, I'd rather be DJing.
Yeah. I feel that. It's it.
Would you though? Would you now go for a rave?
Yeah.
If it's the right night.
Today, you would have asked me a year ago, I would have said no.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. But like when you say, would you go to a rave? And I was just thinking, and then I had this flash of like being in Berlin like a few years back. And the mayor was like, let's go to a rave fucking midday or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
We should do it, man.
It was a fuck yeah.
We should do it.
It was just amazing. It was just, I was just like not on drugs, sipping on like a drink, just chilling and walking around, watching people, sick music.
Yeah.
I was just like, dude, this is dope.
We should do it. We should go away for like a week somewhere.
100%. When all that fucking madness like calms the fuck down.
Yeah. Let's go somewhere in Europe, and I don't feel like I could do it in America. Like
it could be rave. I don't know how the raves are in like Croatia or you know what I mean, like, you know, I've never been there. But you know, yeah, I mean, again, would you ask me, would I want to go to a rave in like England right now? Maybe not.
Yeah,
probably not. But if it was in Germany, probably yes, because it's very different. Yeah, the culture there.
No, I agree. I totally agree, man. Like, yeah, I think for me, going to a rave is like not about, I'm trying to say this like without trying to offend people, but it's like,
just fucking offend people, bro.
It's like, I feel like people go out and rave not just to listen to the music now. It's like to show all their friends on Instagram what they're wearing and what they're doing and what they're drinking. Like, I want to go to just this like cool little club when no one gives a fuck. Everyone's just there, if you know what I mean. And yeah. I feel like... feel like there's not so much that in our scene at all. It's there, it's out there, but not in our, in what we play.
I think it's there. I think we potentially focus on the the phone out, Instagram, da da da, a little too much, because I don't think like most people are on their phone the entire night. They're not. Most people are actually dancing the entire night, having a blast, popping their phone out every now and then, taking a selfie, doing a video, because they want to remember that. Bro, I didn't grow up with fucking mobile phones, you know? Like I was doing this when I was growing up to get a fucking number.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with the phone thing. Do I like places where you go to see gigs and they're like, no phones allowed?
But that's the thing, is I'm cool with the phone thing. I don't give a fuck about the phone thing. But what I'm talking about is what I want to go to. If I was to go to a place and listen to music, like what do I want to get out of that? Because I'm not going for anyone else. I'm going for myself.
Go ahead.
I remember going to see the Chemical Brothers in 2 years ago. In New York, like I didn't get my phone out once, and I just purely because I'm like I'm loving this moment. I don't need to record this. I don't need to watch this. But again, that's I didn't like. Even though we had phones when we were younger, social media wasn't around. If you know what I mean, we didn't have smartphones. We it was all like flip phones and Matrix phones. So like we couldn't record it. So for me, it was more so about enjoying the moment. And I get today's whatever people do now is what they want to do. And I, at the end of the day, phones help us. Phones have helped my career on a massive, massive thing. Like people posting videos really does help my career and helps your career. But I'm talking about what I want if I was to go to a rave.
But I know what you want.
What?
What you want is to go to a rave, and that's what you mentioned, Chemical Brothers and stuff like that. You want to go to a rave with people that are from an older generation.
Yeah.
That is truth. At the end of the day, if you were going to go to rave, you would want to go to like Giles Peterson's like worldwide festival or some shit like that, where, you know, you mostly have like, you know, 30 year old plus like to all the way to 50 years old, where people just go purely for the music and having a really good time. I don't think you want to go to a rave with like 20 years olds. That's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
That's basically, it is. It's the raves we're talking about, they're the raves that used to be. They're not anymore. Or you can find them, but they're not like, they're not even really raves anymore. That's the thing.
It's a bunch of old men. Trying to live like their old days.
Bunch of old people drinking champagne, you know, at a rave on the beach. You know, it's like, that's what we want.
We don't want to go to a rave at the end of the day, let's be honest.
No, at the end of the day, not really, unless it's like this particular thing I have in my mind, which like, you know, Berlin or like somewhere like, it's not even cool, but somewhere where I know it's just going to be gritty but sexy.
I want to go somewhere in Japan that has like these like insane sound systems, like because they have some crazy sound system bars. The bars are just like on another level of sound systems, and you're like, you go up like four floors and you just go to this tiny room and it's like literally like 60 people and you're like, oh my days, what happened to this?
I'd totally move to fucking Japan if I could.
Same. Should we just go together?
I mean, I would move to Osaka like tomorrow.
I haven't explored Osaka that much. I need to. I've been once, but not enough.
That's where you want to move if you move to Japan.
Yeah.
That is, because Tokyo is
amazing.
I believe 3 hours away from Osaka, so it's chill.
On
it's like you
train.
Can go anytime you want. But Osaka is on another level. Other level. I mean, Jax obviously lives there.
Yeah.
He lives between Tokyo and Osaka. But what a beautiful, absolutely beautiful city that is. And I've been three times and I still haven't done anything. Like, there's so much to do. But the culture And it's exciting there, you know, it's like exciting, and you have all these little hidden places, the shops are hidden, the bars are hidden. Literally, you could go up some like 3-4 floor, like floors, and with nothing, no signs, nothing, and then suddenly
you're somewhere.
And there's this weird ass door, and then you open it, and then you open the door, and then that's one example, but that happened to me many times. You open the door, and then there's a wall, and then you turn, and then there's another door that is like literally a meter high.
For short people like me, it's fine. You can say it.
You would have to jump to hit your head. But I had to like.
What are you saying about Asian people, Bon Dirty?
And you creep in, you creep underneath it, and then you go around this thing, and then suddenly you're in this bar. It's all fucking dark. It's all like. Only candles, and there's like 5 seats, and this amazing wall of like fucking herbs and oils and alcohols, and you have these 2 like Japanese dudes just like burning some fucking shit on like on some next level shit,
and they're cool as shit as well. They look cool. Oh, they're fashion, man.
So cool, bro. So cool. And they talk to you like they were straight up. They were like, yeah, what's up?
Yeah. It's so cool. I love it.
Like, you know, sideways, they're like, what you want?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Just tell me 3 flavors. What smells do you like? Like shit like this. And you're like, wow. And then they do it in front of you. And it's like
$10.
Yeah. It's like the most amazing cocktail you would ever have, with the purest alcohol, the fucking craft, years and years of like learning, and the smell. It's cooking, like they're cooking these things, and then it's like $10. Do you know what I mean?
That's what I love about Japan is Japanese culture, and they've turned around quickly from considering. Not so long ago where they were at, but like just how good they are at perfecting things.
They take something, they make it practically better.
Yeah. Like fruit. You can buy like a pineapple for like $400. And then you're like, why would I spend $400 on like a strawberry? Yeah. And then you're like, oh, this is why.
Yeah. One of the best pizza I've ever had was in Japan.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Which is fucking nuts. It's like, I grew up in, you know, partly in south of France, like at the border of Italy. So we want to talk pizza. I can tell you, I've had some good ones. But this one was like,
I bet Bots had some better ones.
Which ones?
I bet Bots had some better ones.
I have not seen it. If you hear this, but like, I know you've been to Osaka and you know the pizzas are fucking banging there.
Yeah. I miss Japan a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, do you ever get like weird looks because you're like so tall? And
no, not in Japan. Not so much. Well, like, they're like at the shows, like, I've had like. I mean, I am pretty tall there. I'm pretty tall. Yeah. But no, in Japan, not so much. They're very, like, in general, you know, and they're kind, and they're, like, everyone, like, respects your space. And, you know, I love going to Asia. I love going to the fun ones were when I went to China.
I've never been.
I went to China a few times. And, straight up, like... If I go on the main street, like somewhere, you know, in Guangzhou or, you know, Shanghai, way less, but, you know, whatever. And, you know, when I used to, really tall, wearing like crazy fucking clothes and like bleach hair. and people would stare like hard, but not in a bad way. They would like have massive smiles and just be like, what the fuck, you know?
What's just landed in China?
Yeah, it was like that. But no, not in Japan, not so much. I love China. I love it. I love it.
I really want to go.
I love it. Like,
was that when you were doing Sonic Kick?
Yeah, and Born Dirty too.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah. It was right at the
turnaround.
The turnaround, yeah. It was really, really cool.
What made you go to America? We've never spoke about this.
I was signed to an agency, so I was like starting gigging here.
Yeah.
And I used to come here quite a bit for gigging more and more. And eventually it was like, I kept saying, I want to move to LA because every time I come to LA, stay here, the weather was amazing. I mean, fucking hell, 17 years in London. I was like, I'm done. Never complained. Never had a problem with the weather. Never. I really didn't. Always loved the sunshine. Always did. But also absolutely loved the rain, made me write some of the best music I've ever written. But when I started to taste the LA sun and the fucking beautiful weather and all that shit here, I was just like, oh man, I want to move here. Eventually I did. Eventually I just moved there and stayed there. It's like 5.5 years ago.
When are you moving out?
I would have already, but... Noel has a really dope work job at the moment. So, you know, we're considering that. We're ready to go.
Where would you go?
That's a big question. Honestly, there's not that many places.
Yeah.
It's either going somewhere in Asia, like, but then again, like, you would only be a tourist.
You alienate yourself, like, don't you?
Huh?
You'd alienate yourself.
You kind of do. You really do. The other place, the first place that comes to mind is Barcelona, because it's very central for a lot of the things I would want. Being close to my family, being close to, London, close to, you know, all my friends, all my close friends. And then... Well, not all. I have close friends in America too, but I mean, like, the ones I haven't seen for in fucking a million years. And so, yeah, Barcelona would be a good spot because also it's cheap. There's the beach.
Barcelona is beautiful.
Weather's good, beautiful, good food. It's a pretty good place.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good place. You know, I would love my Spanish is rusty and not great, but I would, pick up real fast, you know.
Yeah, you'd pick that up. I wouldn't, but you definitely would.
Oh man. I learned Spanish when I was younger, so I'll come back. It's close to French too, so it's easy.
I wish I was good at languages.
You only speak English?
Mate, come on, I'm English, of course.
Yeah, true. I mean, and by only, I don't mean that, like in a, I mean, I speak three languages, so it's...
All right, mate, chill out.
Just kidding. You know, it's
My godmother speaks like seven, and I'm like, fuck off. Just can't deal with it.
It's amazing. I love people that fucking can speak.
It's like one of my biggest turn-ons, dude. Like,
it's amazing.
When I hear a girl go from... some language to another language, I'm like, oh my god,
it's dope.
Yeah, I love it.
I feel you. My granddad speaks like 9 languages. Oh, easy, so cool. Probably more. He can fucking do it. Like, I'm amazed. He's 95.
Damn.
And when I speak to him, he's like, we switch from like English to French to Hebrew, and then I stop because he can just fucking speaks. He can speak everything. Literally, it's fucking mad.
That's mad. That is mad. Like, yeah. 95 as well. He's lived some life. He's seen some things.
He has. It's mad to, like, when I speak to him, it's always like, to think about all the things that he's seen and he's lived. The heavy shit that he's gone through. that even if you explain it, you can't even really comprehend. I've explained it to myself. I've told myself many times, but you can't even fucking grasp the horror he's seen. But when I speak to him, he's like this jolly, happy, positive motherfucker that he is. Like, you can't touch him.
Does it like ever like when you're feeling down, you're like, do you ever like, Gramps went through a lot more than me, let's fucking step out of it?
I don't.
No.
I should, but I have learned that.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm learning to accept my feelings. I'm learning to accept that it's okay to feel certain ways. It's okay to bring perspective and to think, my granddad went through this, or my friends went through that, or like think about what happened like a year ago, how you were. Like, you can bring perspective to help you elevate a little bit more, but also disregarding feelings is like really bad.
It's dangerous, man.
Dangerous.
It catches up
on you. Now I'm just straight like, this is how I feel. I'm with it. I'm looking at it, and this is how it is. Because for me, it's like, it's not something I can just be like, be better.
Yeah.
It's okay. Woohoo, let's go. It's not like that. You know, it's way more complicated.
Yeah.
And I've dealt with my own mental health my entire life without speaking to anybody, without only in my head figuring things out, looking at things around me and comparing to feel, you know, trying to find ways, you know. So I'm really good, I think, at like, but it's tough when it's just you. You know, but it's impossible for me to just snap out. Can you? Can you just like snap out of the funk? If you're in a funk, can you just be like, no, fuck it, I'm good now?
Sometimes.
Wow, that's dope.
Sometimes. But I can also purposely stay in it.
Right.
As well. I can be like,
find comfort in depression.
In the funk. Yeah. It doesn't last long. Like, when I'm in that, I will get out of it pretty quickly. Like, it might take a day, if you know what I mean, to be like...
That's dope.
But I don't know. I don't know. I think that's the question, is that I don't really evaluate myself, or like, evaluate myself is probably not the right word. I don't really like... I know I've been in a funk recently, but I'm not so down in the funk that it's affecting my life and other people around me. It's just like, I think for me, the whole coronavirus stuff has just got to me over the last like week or two. And more so that is purely because I like to... I like to compare where I'm at in my life from a year ago, or from 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And I think for me, like, obviously I know I've achieved a lot in 2020, even though it was a strange year for everyone. I've done a lot, but I think I'm kind of comparing the world to where it is now than when it was 6 months ago. And,
yeah.
And for where I'm at, it's like actually got worse. and we're in a worse situation. And I think when, but the thing is, I know that it's completely out of my power. And when yeah. something's completely out of my power, I'm great at just being like, is what it is, let's just crack on. I think when something's in my power, like if it's a shit relationship or if it's bad people around me or I've done something that I'm not happy with, that's when I can kind of drag it out, because I know I need to put work in, and I don't, it's, the work's going to be painful for me to deal with, and I don't always want to deal with it. But then I do, what I do do is I then realize that the quicker I deal with it, the quicker I'll be out of that funk. So yeah. it's that process of working out what is the process of getting into that kind of dark headspace. And then working out what exactly it is, because like it could be something completely different. Like say the other night, like I was in a foul mood, and I was in a fine mood, and then I fucking burnt the quiche, and then I was in a foul mood, and then I sit back and be like, It wasn't the fact that I burnt the quiche that I was in a foul mood. It was just the fact that we've just been put on lockdown again, and I can't see my family and I can't see my mates, and I'm not touring and I'm not doing that. But
if your album is not going to be called Burn the Quiche, fuck off.
But I burnt the fucking quiche, and then that just triggered it off, and I was like, fuck. But I can suppress feelings.
Little things like that that just starts the fire, you know, that we're accumulating all this frustration and resentment. You do something that most of us don't. You train like a motherfucker.
Oh,
and
dude,
if you didn't train, holy fuck, I would not want to be your friend.
Dude, you wouldn't. You really wouldn't.
I know. I wouldn't want to be a friend. You would be an absolutely fucking horrible person.
Yeah.
You would be so mad all the time.
Training, like, okay, so I've taken a week off the studio.
Here we go.
On Monday, I woke up and did a training session at 6 o'clock in the morning for an hour, and that was CrossFit. And then at 9 o'clock, I went on a pretty much half a marathon walk in the hills.
Wow.
And that was like 4.5 hours up the hills, up the gorge and everything. Tuesday, I did the same. Wednesday, I trained and then did like a short walk. Today I trained, did 2 runs, and then went on a walk. I have to do something.
Yeah.
I have to.
Yeah, I see that. Oh my God, that's a lot. That is a lot.
And my mate texted me just a minute ago, just before we got in, and he's like, I've got a rest day on Sunday. And he was like, okay. And then he just texted me. He was like, do you want to do a 10 miler? Run? And I was like, where are you going? He's like, across the hills. And if he didn't say across the hills, I would have done it, but because I don't have trail shoes, running across the hills at the moment, I would be like, I'm like on slicks wheel spinning, and I'm just gonna fuck my body. So, and it's not freezing tonight, so if it was freezing, I'd go, because it'd still be freezing in the morning and it'd be easy to run on, but it's not gonna be.
Yeah,
but
you do need a rest day though.
Do you?
Never train. I'm not even going to tell the story again, but never.
I don't think you've told the story on the podcast.
I'm never training with Will again. So, all right, short story. We're on...
it's only a short story anyway.
Holy Ship 2018?
Yeah, I think so.
Will and I are on the ship. We're not drinking. We're chilling. While everyone's going fucking mental, we just take a four-day pass at a spa Absolutely fucking amazing. Anyway, we're loving it. We're just... I might have been sipping a little bit, but no, definitely not drinking heavy or anything, but on the spine. Anyway. And then he's like, let's go train. I was like, yeah, let's go train. Sounds good. We go. And I'm like, I haven't trained in a while. So I was like stiff and rusty, but I was like keen. And Will's like, do that. So I'm like, okay, I'm doing it. This and then, like, you know, whatever was like some one of the machines I was doing it, I was already tired, and he was like, keep pushing. I was like, okay. And then I'm off of it, he's like, push ups. It was fucking like the army, like, I was like, this, that, and I was keen, and I kept doing the whole thing. And then we did legs. Long story short, I couldn't walk for 2 weeks straight up. The next day, I think I was fine. But then I think then the day after that, I was like almost, I was in bed. I was like, I couldn't even like get up, get to the kitchen. And that, my friend, definitely traumatized me from training, because that was horrible. That was the most, and I used to train hard, you know, like fucking 5-6 days a week, fighting all that shit. Yeah. But like, because I haven't done it in forever.
That's what it was. That,
like, I was like, fuck it. No.
Never again.
But I'm about to buy this thing, which you're going to laugh about. I can't remember the name now, but it's like
something my gran would buy.
It's basically a bench. It's a bench. It's like a beautiful bench that you can sit on and then play video games. It's fucking sick.
Oh, fuck off.
No, it's a bench, and then it has like hooks, and then it comes with all the, what do you call them? The resistant
nope.
bands. Huh? You're horrible. Bro, watch. I'm going to do this shit every fucking day. I'm going to be buff.
I'll bring you a razor for your vagina as well.
Oh, don't say that, man. You're such a motherfucker. Let me find it. I'm telling you, it's good. It's called Zeno. Check it out.
Show me a picture.
Zeno. It's
to be fair, resistant bands are actually really good.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
I'm only giving you shit.
You are giving me shit. This looks like the fucking business. Can you actually see this? This is fucking small. Hold on.
Okay. Yeah, I take back what I just said. It looks awful.
Yeah. It's really good. I can have that in the fucking living room. I don't have to fucking go smell some motherfuckers at the fucking gym. Which, by the way, I fucking don't like. Don't like going to the gym. Smells like everyone's just like, ugh.
What about Muay Thai? You were training Muay Thai the other day.
I was, and I love it. It's just, it's a timing thing.
This is when the excuses come out.
It's not, I don't want to be in the gym.
Why not?
I don't want to be in the gym with other people, like fucking sweating and spitting, and I just don't want to be in there.
Why though?
I don't feel safe, like, in this environment.
Oh, like COVID stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, I, like, literally went, had an amazing time with my boy Chris Riley. Like, shout out, Chris. That was his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday again. And then, what, day before. And also, if you want a Muay Thai teacher, he is the fucking business. So hit him up. Hit me up, and connect you, but that's in LA. But it's still at the gym. You go at the gym, and I was wearing the mask the whole time training, and I was fine, by the way. I wasn't even like,
yeah,
it was okay. But there was some other dudes in there with no masks and just fucking. It's just not safe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I respect your.
Yeah, yeah, I, no, I get it. I understand. It's just like at this point, it's also like we're not even sure that we would catch something in a fucking environment like that. But it's just probably there's a risk, and I don't want to take it.
No, I respect that, man. I totally. For me, I'm just like, I want to be fit and healthy. I have to be. And yeah. Although gyms are fucking closed at the moment, so I'm just getting the prison gym out and doing it in the yard. But
yeah, you have space outside, and also you're not a lazy motherfucker like me.
Yeah, but I could be. I have to literally like, I make myself be a madman, and I'm not even a madman compared to some of my mates.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
But you are compared to me. So that's the thing. There's always more. There's always less. It's like, you know, you are compared to me, like the amount of work that you do. Yeah. Compared to like a fucking.
I just don't want to get fat. And I will. I would get fat if I didn't exercise.
That's the thing is I don't really get fat.
Oh, you lucky motherfucker.
I burn just straight like. Like I just burn. Like I'm always like I'm so hyperactive. I just burn it all.
Yeah, I don't. I really don't. It's never. I've always had to like be careful.
What's up, Gangi?
What's up? The dogs have just come in.
Say hi. You see them? What's up, Mumu? Come here. Come in.
They don't, I've not met the new one. That's the killer dog.
That's Mumu. Momoshi, are you going to say hi to the...
Oh, dude, you can't let him lick your face. Come on, bruv.
Of course he can lick my face all day. Oh, Momo!
After licking her ass.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, baby.
I love it. Look at this thing. What are you going to do? How can people be scared of these beautiful things? This little rabbit.
That one hates me. Which one was the one that didn't like me?
That's Dharma.
Dharma hated me.
It's me.
Dharma hates everyone.
She doesn't. She loved you. Compared to what the people she hates, she definitely loved you. And that's Goku, but he's not going to let me
pick him up.
Pick him up.
What does Goku mean?
Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Son Goku.
Never into it.
No. No. That's something you've missed. But yeah, Dragon Ball was like a... You're not into anime and all that shit, so...
No, I'm not into subtitles as well.
Have you watched Ted Lasso?
No, you haven't. Like, so, I tell you what. I'm on this series called How to Get Away with a Murder.
And, no, fuck this show.
And it's fucking amazing. And I'm on the last season, and I'm finishing that before I start anything else.
How to Get Away with a Murder?
Yeah.
What's that?
Is
it the one with the lawyer?
Yeah,
the one with the lawyer team, and then she
I love that shit, mate.
The husband that dies and all that shit.
Yeah.
We were hooked with Noel.
It's so good. That shit is don't tell stupid. Me what happens because I'm on the last episode or last season now.
No. Yeah, no, that was a really good show.
I've not binged a show in a long time, and yeah. It's got me hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, I mean, do you have HBO?
No.
Okay, all right.
It doesn't work in the UK as well.
Yeah.
So it's on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix, there's loads. Oh, we just watched this amazing... But do you like subtitles or not really?
Can't do them.
Yeah. Okay.
Can't do them.
There's this amazing Japanese show. It's called Alice in Borderland. You must have seen it pop up. It was like, it's like trending on Netflix.
I think the trending bit, like, is different for different people.
No, I think it's just different in different countries.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, so it wouldn't, yeah. It's not trending
in the
UK. The
top 10 is always the same one for everybody in the same country.
Okay, yeah.
But this one's about, it's like these three dudes, and then they don't wake up. They're hiding in a toilet at the beginning. They're hiding. The police is just fucking chasing them. They're hiding. And then suddenly it gets all quiet and they come out. They're in Tokyo. They come out. And everyone's gone. The entire city is gone. It's just three of them. And they don't fucking get it. And then there's some signs that pop up on like TV screens and like buildings and shit, like with arrows and like going this way, go there, game on, and da da da. And then they get to this place with suddenly they see a few other people with mobile phones. There's like loads of them on a table, and just pick one, and then they pick one. And basically the whole show is just like games to survive.
Yeah.
And then one person can survive, sometimes more. And then they're all different games, and they got to get all the cards. And it's all based on like cards. So the type of cards, the type of color of the cards will be a type of game. And then the number is the difficulty of the game. It's fucking insane. It's so dope. Like
real life Mario Kart. That's why you love it.
I can't talk to you, dude. I don't even. Anyway, fuck it. I'm telling you.
What was that? What was that Japanese film years ago that was like a game and it was disgustingly brutal? It was like a murder thing, but they were all on an island.
It's not Japanese.
Is it not Japanese?
Oh, was it Japanese? Is it like, are we talking about, Battle Royale?
Yes. Was that Japanese?
I can't remember if it was Japanese or South Korean, but, no, it was Japanese, I think. Yeah,
it was Japanese, 2000.
It was Japanese, yeah.
Based on 1990,
game changer. That was
dark, man. The Japanese always do fucked up stuff.
They do.
Like, even their game shows are just on another level of game shows.
Yeah, they go ham. I fucking love it. I love like, cinema.
But all their porn is, like, blurred out.
The pussies are.
Yeah.
The pussies are, I think. Or the dicks.
All of it. Pussy and dicks are blurred out.
I found some that were not.
Hook me up, bruv.
I'm just digging. Yeah. The Ted Lasso show, man, you need to see that.
Yeah, so explain what's it about, because you kind of gave a vague thing.
Yeah, because I don't like spoilers.
Is it a comedy?
It's a comedy, but equally you are a little bit stressed out of the outcomes of like what's happening. So it's a comedy, but you're like, oh my fucking God, no, no, kind of shit.
Okay. You know? And it's on Apple Plus.
I can't remember the name of the actor. I'm terrible. He's doing an amazing job. And he's basically this American football coach that did really well in America with the team that was losing, made him like go all the way to the top, won. And this lady who owns Richmond FC, I believe. just the premise of the fucking thing. She's like, I want him to be the coach. And then so he comes in and he's American. He's never watched soccer and he doesn't even fucking know what he's supposed to do. And he comes with his like head coach or whatever, like the head coach. But with the assistant. And then they're both American, and then they're trying to win over the team and everyone around. But he is the most positive, sweet, fun dude that only want to see good in people. And he arrives in fucking Richmond and everyone fucking football players, they trash him night and day, all day. It's fucking hilarious, bro. It made me feel at home for a while. I was just like, oh man, I missed that. I missed this English humor. The fucking,
it's pub, so good. Everything. It's so good.
I mean, it's so, watch it. You love it. You love it. You don't even need to care about football. It has like, it's really like just secondary. It's more fun of like an idea of someone that has no idea about football, like watching that shit.
Yeah, I need to watch that. I do need to watch it.
I'm telling you, watch it. You'll thank me. I mean, but then again, like, you might hate it. I'd be like, man,
how good was Queen's Gambit?
That was sick.
Oh my God.
And it's random because I literally just, I think like everyone else, unless like, but honestly, when I watched it, it just came out. So there was no buzz about it. And I was like,
it's because you're so cool. Right. You're just like, you're just ahead of the curve, mate. You're just above everyone else. You're just cool. I mean, it's like your music tastes and everything.
You know, it was like, it said like no one. It was the better version of on Netflix, because I have like Netflix better versions. So, like, I get the shows before.
You have Netflix cool.
I have Netflix cool. I have the promos, right? I get all the promos before. But no, Queen's Gambit was fucking sick.
It was actually really interesting. Let me pull it up. It was like a quote that I saw the other day. I think I took a screenshot of it, and it's very relevant in our, the Queen's Gambit has been viewed by 62 million people. The producer, Alan Scott, is on BBC News talking about how it took 30 years with 9 rewrites, and every studio he showed it to said no one would be interested in chess. Please preserve with that thing that you're making. Dude, that gives me goosebumps now reading that.
Me too. I like, just had goosebumps.
Seriously.
That's what I'm telling you. It's just like, I mean, like, it's different. Writing a script, writing a movie, you can't be like, let me sit, done, 24 hours, it's finished. Yeah. Not quite. It's not quite the same.
But it's the same concept.
Huh?
It's the same concept.
It's the same concept, but it's also like really touches just that one, when you believe in what you have, eventually it's going to pay off. Eventually. Unless like you really, he makes a fucking awful music and you think it's great, which is, you know, happens often.
We've all done it.
Me too. I mean, I'm like, that shit is fire. Yeah. And I fucking listen to this like again 2 days after and it's pile of crap. So yeah, but that show is great. The writing's fucking sick.
It's amazing. And it's not cliche. It's dark. It's really dark.
It's gritty. It's very gritty. That's why I loved it. That's why I think everyone loved it. It's fucking gritty and dark. And I saw a few things pop up, how like chess has become like everyone's like learning chess right now.
Dude, so you know Ryan, manager Ryan, he's always been obsessed with chess.
Oh, like, shit.
Seriously. And he hadn't watched it, and he plays on chess.com, like, which is like just an app. And he was like, you should get it and we should play each other. And I tried to download it, and I downloaded it and tried to log in, and I was like, dude, I can't, it's not letting me. And he's like, yeah, all the servers are down because of Queen's Gambit.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
Man, it's mad. Everyone, like, they sold, I can't remember how many fucking chess boards and shit. Like, it's fucking, everyone's learning it. Everyone's learning it.
It's great, man. I like stuff like that. It's positive influence to the world.
Really? It's amazing. I think, like, everyone should be playing chess because it's such a I love playing chess. I don't do it much, but I fucking love it.
I'm so bad.
I'm probably awful too. I mean, you know,
maybe
I mean,
we should play each other.
We should. I fucking love it. But there is something about, with chess is fine, you can play online, but there's something about just sitting with someone with the board, and I just love it. I just love doing that.
Do you know what? That's what I love about New York, is when you're going past like the parks, or like when I used to live in Williamsburg, there was on the corner, South First Street, It was always like old dudes playing dice or playing chess or playing backgammon, always like gambling, just like, I love seeing it because it's that culture that even in our age group, you don't really get. And it's almost, it feels like it's a generation that's just going to, it's just going to be lost. But yeah. There's something so analog about it, so raw about it, where you just like, just, it is a very manly thing. Like, you don't get many women just going to play chess on the streets in New York. It's a very man thing. I'm not sure why. I don't know why, but it is. But there's something about it. I'm just like, this is, I love it. It's sociable.
The show touches a lot of that on the subjects. Mm. Why? Because it was a man thing. Because women, you know, weren't supposed to be playing this game, and they weren't as good apparently as the men, and that wasn't true in the show, and probably in real life too. I mean, I don't know the history of chess, but it's I got really lucky growing up. Like, I fucking got, we loved board games and we loved like backgammon. Like, I grew up backgammon like a lot. That's like a cultural thing in Israel. Everyone plays. It's just part of the.
Did you live in Israel?
I was born there, so, but I moved to France when I was like 3 years old.
What passport do you have?
Israeli and French.
That's dope.
Yeah, Israeli and French. Yeah, I mean, like, now with the visa shit, now for a second I was considering trying to get like a green card, and then, you know, eventually, like, how, you know, we thought of everything, you know, it was mad, but luckily I just got the visa again, so that's good.
It's good that it came through. Was it easy?
Honestly, it was.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was easy. Everyone had to work for it. Like,
of course.
My agents, you know, got the job done, but yeah, I it was just very expensive, that's all.
Yeah, man, they are expensive, but it's worth it in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, of course, 100%. But it is like $4,000 around that, you know what I mean? Like, you know, people have to think about this. This is like, it's pretty nuts.
I've got to do mine in September this year.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
That's what I thought. Like, I was just like, oh man, maybe with COVID, blah, blah, blah.
Nah.
If you've had your visas before, everything's just, you know, it's not going to be hard at all.
When I renewed mine, it was when Trump was in last time, and everyone was like, you might not get it. And it went through quicker than ever. And I was like,
yeah,
it's just the media, man. Media hype.
Yeah, it really isn't like, they look at everything you've achieved, everything you're doing. They check you online. I mean, bro, we've been here. We're everywhere, like on the web. Like, you know, I pay all my taxes here. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Just come on. It's like, that's fine. But yeah, I mean, what's the plan for 2021 for you? What's going on?
Releasing a shit ton of music, like doubling what I, maybe even tripling what I did last year.
Okay.
I only did four releases last year, and it kind of, obviously because of COVID, we kind of put back releases, and then it meant that we could only put a certain amount out. And yeah, I put three out on the label and one out on somebody else's and a couple of remixes. But next year, from Feb 5th, we're doing one every other month or every 8 weeks on the label. For the rest of the year, and then in between those I'm putting out on other people's labels as well.
Dope.
That's
sick.
All the music's done apart from those ones in between, and even one of those ones in between is done.
Okay.
I'm just like kind of at the point where like I've got the podcast going and it's doing really well for considering how quickly it's like we've been doing 40 weeks. What's up, Noel? and then so like I'm really happy with how that's going, and obviously touring is still not, there's no talks of touring really, apart from the odd offer coming in, but whether it happens or not. So I just want to just do as much as I possibly can next year music wise and just be out there and just give people music that I've been working on for so long. But what about you?
That's dope. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not even gonna...
How does that make you feel to say that?
I love it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is just like, I'm writing a lot of music. I'm gonna have music. So that's why I think I'm like cool with the idea. I'm not like, oh my God, 2021, what am I gonna do? Like, I don't know. Like, I have the label, I'm making music, I'll be releasing tracks all year. My plan is to release way more music.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to say it. I just want to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, I can bullshit the podcast and be like, this month, I'm da 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 do. But it's not true. The truth is, I'm just writing right now. I'm feeling good about that. And then if that's going to take me an entire year of writing fucking dope shit for 2022, then that'll be the case. Obviously, I'm going to release music like this year. I'd love to release way more music. I'm going to do some re-releases too of a couple of tracks that, like, from way back that I haven't, you know, that I feel like they need like another round.
Yeah.
Which used to be... It used to happen all the time back then, you know, and so now I'm just bringing some stuff back and then writing for this side project that no one's going to know about. And where else? Yeah, it's two side projects. So yeah, I'm busy in that sense. And yeah, same, like the odd offers and the festivals and stuff like that. But who knows if it's going to, if it's going to happen, but I feel pretty good. Like, you know, as soon as we're going to be done, I'm going to grab some lunch and just go back in the studio and make some fucking tunes.
Nice, man.
You know?
It's a strange time, but I think we're lucky. We're really lucky in the situations that we're in. We're super lucky. And to think that we've done a year without working, really, nearly 10 months.
Yeah.
So lucky, man.
It's mad. I can't believe we're almost in March. It's almost going to be a year.
Yeah. And it will. It will fucking fly by.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
It's mad.
100%.
Dude, it's like only like 26 days ago, we were all in exchange when I played Open to Close.
I know.
It's
crazy.
Mad.
It's crazy. Yeah, time's just flying. But look, I just love that you have everything set up. You're like, you're set for like 2021. And I know I've heard most of the tunes, not all of them. They're big tunes, bro.
Trance hits 95, baby.
Yeah. Oh God! Yeah. You should do a separate fucking label just for your trance shit. That shouldn't even
that
be
shit never doesn't even come out, does it? You know this
shouldn't be allowed. But
the funny thing is you take the piss out of me about being trance, and then I take the piss out of my mate Tommy, who's even more trance than me. And I'm like, bro, you're too trance. I can't handle your tranceness.
Oh, I don't know. I don't like trance.
Well, you didn't grow up on it. Why?
I didn't
like trance. I really don't like trance, but there's certain things that I like about trance.
Yeah,
I've never listened to trance. I will never listen to trance.
You like the over emotional pads,
dude? Oh, that shit gives me like feels.
Oh, and that shit like grips my soul.
Yeah,
out.
I know.
Oh no, I don't want it. I don't want it,
but it works for me. It works. I like emotion so much, and it's if I can't get it out of a vocal, I want to try and make. And it's so weird to think that I was releasing like Dirty Bird music like 3 years ago.
Yeah,
but this is I'm writing what I really always wanted to write now, but it just took that it was that process of getting there.
Yeah. But you had the same goals, like when you were doing the, you know, you wanted to write for Dirty Bird before Dirty Bird, and you fucking did it, which is amazing. So now you know, your goals are set. Fucking love it.
What's your thing for, what is your thing though? Like, without sounding cliche, 5 years. Do you ever do that? Do you ever be like, in 5 years, I want to have done this?
It's funny because the only time in my life I did it is when you were twisting my arm to do it. It was like about a year ago. Yeah. And you were like, you should do it. Here's mine. Do something similar. And I eventually did.
Yeah.
I literally did it. And as I did it, like, COVID hit.
Yeah.
It was just like, that's why I don't do these fucking lists. That is why I just go with the flow every single day.
Yeah. I wish I could do that.
In 5 years, you know, I don't even have to think about it. If we're honest, the first things that's going to come out of my mind is just like, I see an acoustic guitar. I see like being relaxed somewhere on the beach, like dope recording studio, like composing for like ads and maybe movies, TV, just like really like laid back, like making dope money,
yeah,
composing for like things that pays really well, and then sit back and do what the fuck I want with music. Like, I don't care if you're gonna listen to it, I don't care how many people are gonna listen to it, I'm just gonna make it. And that for me is just like essential. It's essential. And I can't tell you a genre, because every day there's something else I want to do.
It's really interesting you say that, because like mine's pretty much exactly the same, but different settings. Like, mine's in the middle of the countryside, like,
yeah,
no neighbors, fields all around me, cows all around me, and just like
sick.
Just do exactly that, build a studio.
Which you could have both. You could have the countryside by the beach.
Yeah.
This
these
still, you know, that'd
yeah,
be nice.
Definitely. For me, last year, 2020, it's like been a lot of like, I've always wanted certain things or had goals to get there, but for me, things have changed a lot massively on what I want out of life. I think I've realized I can actually like step back a little bit and concentrate on other things, and there's so many other things I want to do. Like, I really want to do a fashion label, like proper fashion. And for me now, I'm just like, it takes me a while to get into my head to like do it.
Yeah.
And I put up barriers in my head on why not to do it. And then I just end up wake up one day and just be like, I'm doing it, and then crack on with it. Just takes time, man.
Takes a while, and it's good to accept that. It's good to like just take a day at a time, knowing that eventually
it will get there.
Yeah, you just one day you're just gonna wake up and you'll be there. That's it. It's just, you know, it's some people want to have constantly their eye on the fucking price, but for, I just don't.
How for like during this, like COVID, like has your views on finances changed?
No. I went through like, it was tough for a moment.
Yeah.
I was like, we need to move out. We moved in this house.
Yeah.
A month before COVID. Yeah. So, you know, we moved in this house with a certain amount of rent, with a certain amount of like money coming in every month, thinking we can afford that.
Yeah.
Then COVID hit. And then you're like, oh. So yeah, that in that sense, that made me rethink like, oh man, like it's kind of crazy. But I've been really, you know, really lucky. The beginning, like, was a bit tough, but after that, I was just, you know, I've been teaching. That's been really good.
Yeah.
That helped a lot. And then, I've been doing some TV work as well. And that's helped like immensely.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I mean, we're like, overall, I'm just always the same. My relationship with money is very... When I have it, I'm having, like, I'm enjoying it and I'm sharing it and, you know, spend it, but also save it. But when I don't have it, I get pretty stressed out when I don't have it.
Same, man.
I get mad stressed out.
Yeah.
But when I have it, I'm, like, relaxed. It's funny how just, like, that alone is just, like, changing my mood. But I think it's not so much not having it. It's just, like, remembering. I mean, I've been paying rent since I was, like, 18 years old.
Yeah.
So I've had, like... I've had my shares of, like, traumas and bullshit that I used to do when I was younger. So, you know,
yeah,
spending all my work money on vinyls and all my rent money on vinyls and all my rent money on everything else and rent, like, for too long. So sometimes when I don't have, like, the money is tight, I'm like, oh, and I think all these, like, triggers again. Because I've had, like, fucking, what'd you call them? The people that come...
Bailiffs.
They come to your house and take all your shit.
Yeah, bailiffs.
Yeah. I've had them countless of times.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Money's such a strange thing. Because it has so much power over emotions when... People with the least amount of money can also be the happiest people around.
Yeah.
But I think it's once you've had a bit of money, and I'm not rich, never been rich, if you know what I mean, but I've had a very comfortable life. But I think for me, my priorities have changed massively, where for me, it was just always about more. And when you take a year out, when you're forced to take a year out, and then you're like, well, what have I got to show? Like, what did that more do to me apart from give me a lifestyle that I didn't need, if you know what I mean? It doesn't make me happy now because I don't have that.
Yeah.
Like, I love it when... I can spend like 30 quid and have a week on 30 quid and be like, this is fucking amazing. Love this. Yeah, if you know what I mean.
For sure.
Yes, it's strange. It's really strange. But then automatically I can go straight back in it. Like manager Ryan can hit me up and be like, yeah, we've just had an offer for this festival. It's like the fees are pretty shit. But would you be up for doing it? And I'm like, whoa, those fees are shit, man. Like, they're bad.
Yeah.
And straight away, I'm like, in it. Like, that goes back to the business thing. And we were talking about this the other day with your show in Austin.
Yeah.
And you're just like, where does that come from? Like, I can switch, like, in seconds. Be like...
It comes from the hard work that we've done to get to the level where we at and the fees that we used to get.
Yeah.
And so if someone comes in and it's like a third of the price, here it is, a fourth of the price, here it is. You're like instantly like, fuck off. But then you're also thinking, shit, there are no shows right now.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, everyone's struggling. They can't afford to pay that much, you know, whatever the fees are. So that's also something to respect. I mean, I've never liked the idea of, I'll be honest. I love big fees. When you see a big fee, you're like, oh my fucking God, yes. And usually they're for big festivals or like a big show. And it's great. You know, everyone's going to make their money. The idea of squeezing a promoter.
Totally. I hear what you can say.
For your fee. Yeah. You know, it's just like not a vibe for me. Never been a thing. I want everyone to really go home and like eat like nicely. You know what I mean? But to come back to just the thing of like you know, where that comes from, like when we're just like straight back to business, is because we've worked hard, you know, worked hard to get where we are, and like this is what we are worth. But things have completely, like, shit's, you know, on its head right now. It's on its head. What the fuck? Like, the fees are fucking crazy. But then you thinking, if I accept that fee, then that sets me back to this number.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, everyone now can just book me for that number instead.
Which it does.
Huh?
It does.
Which, yeah, it does. It does do that. So, like, it's something to think about. Like, I personally set something. There is nothing under that. I'd rather do no shows.
Yeah. Yeah, we did have that. We haven't really discussed it for this year. We did have that, and I'm really down to do like door splits with promoters.
Yeah.
It really excites me to do full on door splits with a promoter where everyone gets their costs covered, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, whether it's like, okay, you want me to come and play your club, I will, like, my flight and hotel gets paid for, okay? Yeah. And then we do a door split.
Yeah, that's dope. I think that's great.
Like, fucking down, because there's some great promoters out there and there's some fucking dodgy promoters out there that will, yeah, oversell that shit. And we've been in there. We've been there, if you know what I mean. And they add extra prices on tickets. I'm like, okay, yeah, well, let's be real. I am putting my value on the table. If we don't sell tickets, which is my fault, because people don't want to come and see me, I don't get paid, but neither do you.
Yeah.
And that's when the promoter and the artist and the agent and the manager all has to work together.
Yeah.
And it is about creating a team together and creating relationships with each other that everyone's in it together. And it fucking excites me, that shit.
It is
so much more exciting.
It's fucking dope. You do have to sell out like 5 to 1,000 capacity rooms.
Yeah.
For decent priced tickets.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that's great. That's fucking awesome. That's the plan. That's the goal. I fucking love that. I really love that idea. I think it's fair. But
I also want to bring people touring with me. Like, I think what I've worked out for me is, like, it's great having good fees and things like that, but I want to be able to bring people on a tour with me and them also earn money, and,
yeah,
and for the promoters to kind of allow me to kind of curate a night rather than just put Will Clark on the lineup. It excites me to be able to bring other people involved, and I want to travel with people, man. I want to travel, yeah, with people.
I mean, I've told you, you're 1,000% bringing my side project on the fucking road.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm going to squeeze in there.
Do it. You do it, man.
We'll bring Seb with us. You'll fucking hate French people by the second fucking date.
Seb? Which Seb?
Sebastian.
Oh, yeah.
He's a sweetheart, though.
And Shuba. We'll get Shuba to a side project as well, and it'll just be fucking French. French and
have
me.
Have you spoken to Sebastian?
We text occasionally.
But you've never Zoomed with him or anything?
Not since, no.
No. Oh, but you've done it once.
I haven't. Not. Oh, what, on the podcast or just generally?
Oh, just in general.
No, we've caught up just through text. Mate, I'll be honest, like, I've not been in touch with that many people.
Yeah.
Like, only I would class Seb as a close friend, but we've always had a relationship that we just get in touch whenever we want to talk. And
who are you talking about?
Kill Frenzy.
No, I'm talking about Sebastian Russell.
Oh, shit. Sorry, man. I thought you were on about Kill Frenzy.
No. Now I got it, yeah, when you, like, Yeah.
No. We've never FaceTimed, but we've spoke.
I was just like, have you ever FaceTimed with like Kill Frenzy?
That's why I was like, this is weird.
That's some weird ass shit.
No, I haven't, man. Just texting on WhatsApp. I was talking to him the other day. He like really wants to give music a go again, like proper.
Yeah.
So I'm down to get him on board 100.
I'm glad we got him, like, dude. You know, I fucking set the fire on him. It was like, you gotta go. And then now he's like, he wants to do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, he has to. He's so talented.
So good, man.
So talented. I'm so happy, like, you guys, like, that's why I was like, that's why I was wondering if you ever spoke to him.
No, like, only WhatsApp. But we've got a track together as well.
Awesome.
But it's not finished. He's like some vocal on it or something.
That's amazing.
But maybe we send it to you for your, I don't know if you'll like it. Maybe we send it to you for your side project.
Maybe.
And do like a three-way.
Let's do it. Let's three-way that.
Yeah, baby. Scissor it.
No, I'd love to hear it regardless. But that's dope, man. That's great. Good people connecting.
Yeah, that's what I really want to do. And I want to just create, and it sounds cliche as fuck, but I want to create a family around me that we're all just tight and we're all just like I miss the old Dirty Bird days. I really do. And those days were really special. And it comes back from like childhood stuff, like from like playing rugby, like from my old, like being around the old boys and just having just amazing times with really good people around you. And don't get me wrong, I have great people around me. I have a great team around me. Like, I'm super lucky with what I've got. But what I want to create is, I want to create something that lasts longer than me. And I want to have my best mates around me and everyone eating from what we all achieve.
100%.
Rather than just all trying to do it for me, because it's not. Doesn't make me happy.
Yeah.
Doesn't make me happy.
You kind of like, it's the good, you know, it's that classic shit, like on their plane, like when you're on the plane, if it crashes or some shit or whatever, you need to put the mask on you first.
Yeah.
And all my life, I was like, what are you talking about? I would definitely put the mask first and like my friends or family, whatever. But it's you really need to do it on you first. You need to be fully aware, awake, and like there to be able to actually bring anyone with you.
Totally.
And, you know, it's not saving anybody, but I'm saying like to be in a healthy environment, you need to be in a healthy kind of spot.
Yeah. And I think you also have to be at a level yourself, like financially as well.
100%.
Like, I love what Chris is doing with Black Book, because he's, I know 2020 kind of fucked it a lot, but I know he had like a lot of plans for the artist on the label.
Yeah.
And obviously Dirty Bird did the same, like Hot Creations does the same. And, but I kind of want to create just my mates. I want to find some people as well that I've not found yet. And bring them on board and kind of really, really like people that we could just sit down for 3 hours and all just be on a podcast and just all chat shit and just have fun. Yeah. And then we all write dope music and that's what you French lot do really well. And I always am envious with what like Ed Banger and all of those crew have kind of done. They created this like created movements with such a family vibe.
Yeah. Love and they're still doing it today.
Still, man.
Ed Banger is still full on like family vibes and still like, but that's because I think it's, for me, the most essential thing is to be surrounded by the, you know, people I care about, people that are kind and I feel good about, and I can just feel good about myself around them. And that's like priceless and not easy to find.
It's not easy to find.
But you know, we're connected with you know, with the right people, and also it's like a, it's a chain, right? Like we know, I know your values. You know mine. We know if I bring someone in, you, I know their values, and so on and so forth. And that is just like very, it's like, it's comforting to know that you don't have to like question like too much. Like, cause I'm kind of like, I'm an introvert. As much as I can be extrovert when I'm at a show, but other than that, I'm an introvert. Don't really want to meet new people. I don't really that much. But if it's through someone that I really respect and feel good about, then I'll be like all about it.
What is that with you? The shows, because you are so different on when you're performing.
I know,
you're like worlds apart.
Worlds apart.
I was watching your Instagram the other day. And I was like,
I was in the crowd.
Yeah, I was like, what? Like, but I see it all the time with you, and I'm like, what? What? And then you get on the mic, and you're like, what? And I'm like, I know.
It's there's just something that just unlocks. Like, I just, when I'm at a show, because I come from bands and singing in bands and shit, and it's just like being a fucking face of the crowd and shit. You know what I mean? This is where I come from. So for me, there was never a difference like DJing. Like, just CDJs allowed me to do that, jump in the crowd and shit. Because with the vinyls, I couldn't do that. It's like, you know, it was just harder. But no, I just love it. I don't know why. I just like, it's just like this beast just comes out of me and fucking love it. And also, I just love that moment when I'm just grabbing the crowd. And I feel like this energy is like fucking nuts. Do you know what I mean? It's just like you are in this thing. Because really, ultimately, this is where I feel good. Like when I'm with, I never play for myself. I really don't.
I don't.
Do I give, like, sometimes like, I don't give a fuck whether they like it or not. Because I do still play for people, but yeah, it's a complicated one, but yeah, I do play for people. Like, I want them to have a fucking time. I imagine myself in the crowd. It's a little bit like egotistical, like, oh, I'm playing for myself in the crowd. It's like, but I'm imagining myself as a fucking raver, because I used to be in, that's how I feel the energy, I think.
I can relate to that, on that kind of, you're there to entertain.
People, yeah, people, you 100% are.
People are paying to see you do what you do. And my, for me, the thing that I always go in is I go in and think 90% of these people don't know who I am. Yeah. And even if they bought a ticket to my show, 90% of these people don't know who I am. 10% of them have dragged their friends along and told them they have to come and see me. All right. And I have to make the 90% of people know who I am by the end of it. And, and that's my view when I go into a show. And there's so many parties I've been to and the DJ has just been selfish and just played what nobody else wants to hear. And you can tell in the crowd, like, no one wants to hear this, mate. Like, come on, like, sort your shit out. But I also think that comes from what you grew up listening to and how you, what you experienced going to shows as a kid.
Yeah.
Because, like, growing up going to Glastonbury and, like, you're seeing fucking, even Oasis, and Oasis are dull on stage, but they're like, but I go back to them every time.
Powerful, though.
Yeah, like even like seeing Paul McCartney, right?
Yeah.
Like that dude entertains. Like that, and probably one of the best entertainers, James Brown. It's watching James Brown on stage and you're like, fucking hell, he was like in his 80s and still entertaining.
Yeah.
And he wasn't doing it to, he wasn't being selfish at all. Just performing for everyone else.
He's a performer. That's the thing. That some people are performers and some people aren't. You can be a DJ and not be a performer.
Oh, 100%.
It's very different. I grew up being a performer my entire life. Like, I played in front of people when I was 15 years old, like in pubs and stuff, like, you know, guitars and singing.
Yeah.
I've always performed in front of people. So I've never been shy about that, weirdly enough. As a shy person, never been shy about this. But I think it is, you're right. It's like growing up, I've seen my peers and my idols and shit like that were like performers, like heavy, you know what I mean? Like, I'm that old. I saw like Nirvana play. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm so jealous.
You know, it's like, these moments are like changing life's moments. Like, you know, everything is kind of dull after seeing something like this.
Yeah.
You're like,
hey,
that's the energy. That's why I'm going to be, you know, that's it. Like, I saw the Beastie Boys like countless of times, like countless. And the first time I was 17 and I remember coming out of the show. I always tell the story. Coming out, I didn't really know who they were. It's weird because I was listening to a lot of music. And when I was 16, I started to listen to them a little bit. And I think for my birthday, when I was 17, I went to see them in Paris. And I came out of the show and I was in my mind, I was like, I'm a fucking Beastie Boy.
Yeah.
I'm a Beastie Boy now. Shaved my head, did all. I was a fucking Beastie Boy because the energy they had shook me to the core. Like, nothing I've ever, even Nirvana, even nothing else. Like, they were the ones that really like cracked me to like unleash all this like multitude of different genres of whatever. Wouldn't even thinking about it because they were just like making what the fuck they wanted.
What era was that? Because obviously you've seen the Apple Plus documentary.
The documentary, yeah. That was insane. The Ill Communication album.
Yeah.
Tour.
Was that their second album?
That was technically was their third album because they had the punk album first. And then they had Check Your Head.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was the punk album, and that was the third album. Yes, third album.
When they were like, kind of everyone, kind of was like, "What the fuck are they doing?" But it kind
if
of
you take the if you take the punk album out, it was the third album.
Yeah,
okay. But then technically it's the fourth.
Yeah.
But there were. There was nothing like it.
Prodigy, I've never saw them. And that's the one band I regret not seeing. I've seen videos of them live in like Brixton Academy.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
some wild shit.
Wow.
Yeah. But because they come from the punk angle, you know, that's the thing with, that's why the Beastie Boys too, like, not to come back to that, but they also came from the punk angle with rap and, you know, whatever, but that energy, that like, oh, fucking just like absolute out of your fucking mind.
You don't really get that in house and techno as well, do you? It's really hard to get that.
But that's why I get in the fucking crowd and I'm like getting everyone to fucking, you know, although the music is not that, it's like, that's the energy I'm trying to like communicate.
Yeah.
If you come and see me at a show, especially maybe I would say if you, like 2-3 years ago when I was still young, I'd be like,
bro, you haven't been young for years.
But years. No, the good thing is like whenever I go, I still have the energy. It comes out of me. It just comes out of me. But I think that's like the energy I want to translate most of the time. And then sometimes it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you know? There's a lot of times that it doesn't make sense, but when it does make sense, it works so well and it comes off so well.
It does. It does.
I never forget when we did the Amok, when me and Graham did, or Sian did the Amok project at Hard Summer, and it was so stressful leading up to it. And we spent months pretty much writing. We wrote like 21 records, and it was very stressful, the whole rehearsal thing kind of leading up to it. And it was hard work. And then when it got to play in Hard Summer and no one had heard a single record and it just fucking slammed, and you're like, oh, this is why I do it. This is it.
Bro, you play an entire show of just IDs. It's just like, that's what's up.
Yeah.
That's the real deal.
Yeah, man, it was amazing.
That's the real deal. It's just like, I can't remember, I think it was Ghostly on Twitter. Do you follow him?
No, I don't even look at Twitter anymore.
Yeah, fair enough. He always posts his dope shit. But he was saying like about, like, you know, it's kind of extreme, but it's like, you know, truly a real DJ is like someone that's going to play shit that you don't know.
Yeah.
That's the job.
See, adding to that though, a real DJ is a DJ that's going to play shit you don't know, but you wish you did know.
That's right. Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. That's, boom. That's, you want to play shit that is up so fire that they want to know what it is.
Yeah. Oh man, how good is it when you find a record that's like, you're like, this is going to be in my box for fucking ever, and I'm going to love playing it.
I can't remember the, there's many, many records, but recently, like, no, not recently, sorry, like a few years back, there was the, oh God, I'm so bad with names, and I played that tune so many times, I did an edit of it, and it came out, I can't remember if it came out on Box of Cats, but like way at the beginning. Like,
okay.
And I found it. I can't even remember. I got really lucky to find it. And the Best of Us, I think. I'm sorry, guys. I can't remember the name right now. If you're listening to this. But every time I played that record, who just kind of almost sound like any other fucking kind of like, has like a slightly bass house vibe. It has a bass house vibe, but it's like grittier and like tighter. It's not like rah, 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 rah.
Yeah.
Every slams. Fucking time I dropped that tune, people were losing their mind.
Yeah, I love that feeling.
Their mind. And you know, you're like, and no one knew the track. No one. It was so fucking unknown. It came out years ago. No one's heard it really much. And then now I'm fucking re-bringing it to the fucking table.
The best.
Slamming. And, dude, I wish they re-released that track. Like, as a single, I kept saying that needs to come out as a single. It's an absolute fucking banger, and no one, it didn't really come out, it didn't release it, which
do anything. Mine's the let me just check, I'm really bad at it. Yeah, Jensen Interceptor, Collect Those Ends. Oh my days. Like, when this was like the period when I was going from Dirty Bird to like more tougher stuff. Yeah. And I'd always like play tougher stuff in my sets, but this is like, you've definitely probably heard it. That record just destroys.
Yeah.
And you're like, you can't play a record after it because nothing's as good as it. Nothing's as hard or as gritty. And you're like, I probably might as well just take the USB stick out and leave right now because nothing's beating this.
It's tough to play these tunes.
Yeah, it really is.
That one record that just, it destroys, and you're like, where do I go from here?
Yeah.
Where do I go from here? You have to be smart. Like, I usually would play this one towards the end because, or completely drastically, like,
switch it
real down to build again.
Yeah, depending on where you're at, if it's a long set, you can definitely get away with that. For me, like, yeah. It, obviously some people do it better than me and can just get away with it. Robag Worm had this wicked record. I'm really bad at remembering names, so I'm just going to have to pull it up. Robag. It was on, like, was it on this? Yes. Yeah, it's called Yes. And it's just a groover. I'm going to send it to you now.
Yes, please. Send it over.
But it, I've tried to recreate something like it, and I can't.
I'll make it for you.
Yeah, you will be able to with your side project. But it's just this like groover that just every time I listen to it, I'm like, oh, this is so good. And it doesn't even really slam in a club, but it creates a... It...
Can you actually hear this?
Yeah, kinda.
It's weird. It's like... Oh, there it is. Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know them tunes.
It's like so that, sluggy.
The entire fucking track. Yeah. That shit will put you to fucking
Mars and back.
Yeah. Straight up. That shit just like locks you. Yeah. And you need to go with it. You know, I skipped through it. These are the kind of tracks you need to listen from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's a journey. Yeah, I see what you mean with the side project stuff. But yeah, it's fucking, I'll check it out.
It's like sluggish.
I don't know what that is.
He's amazing. Really fucking good. But I like sluggish, lazy, like just grooves that just like, there's something about him. I'm not good at making those types of grooves. So I think when you listen to something or when I listen to something that I'm not good at making, I'm like, this is my jam.
Yeah,
it's fucking great.
I think it's not now obviously, but we should look into that. We should do a sesh where I want to see what do you mean exactly by that, and we'll listen to a few things and then
do you know what it is? I know exactly what it is for me.
Yeah,
it's
what is it?
I want to make bangers. And that isn't a banger, but it is.
Yeah, of course.
And that's all it is. It's just me. I could write it. I know I could.
Yeah.
But there'd be something in me that would be like, go on, Will. Add that little synth line or add that vocal in or get some gospel choir in or do something. And that's all it is. For me,
but you know, it's exactly what that happy track I sent you of mine.
Yeah,
and you were like, oh, you need it's missing something. It's missing this extra thing. And I was like, yeah, right. And then I added the synth, and I was like, oh, by the way, I've listened to it again, and I don't like the synth anymore.
Yeah.
And I think I just like where it sits.
Yeah,
as like I just like that it's just a simple groover, you know. But yes. If you add that extra thing...
If it works, if it's the right thing.
Yes, but also, if it is the right thing, is to kind of elevate to that realm of, like, a banger.
Yeah.
But, which is dope. I get it. But also, like, sometimes a track just needs to be, like...
What it is,
do you know what I mean? I think, like, I'm kind of, like, happy with just happy, you know? It's just, like... It grooves. It's more about that do vocal that just like locks
you in.
It's
great, man. It's great. It is a great record.
I think if I was, when I started to add synths and stuff, I'm like, oh shit, I'm not concentrating on that vocal anymore.
Yeah.
That which was my lead.
Yeah.
But it's more like a, it's almost like a snoozer. But it's kind of like that, dude. It's the same purpose. That purpose is in there already. But yeah, Joe would prefer if I had a big fucking smasher.
It's weird, isn't it, how managers can have that effect.
To Joe's, like, you know, like, he did text me, he said, if you want to keep it the way it is, dope. If you want to add something
else. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But yes, they want to have the biggest tunes ever fucking made.
Yeah.
They just want, they are out there, like, going ham for us.
Yeah.
You know? They want the biggest tunes. But the crazy shit is, like, that my side project is really
the opposite.
It's the entirely opposite of that. And this is where I'm going to be the most comfortable.
Yeah.
Where I'm just writing things. And the crazy shit is, from experience, from all the learning shit that I've had over the years, these are often the things that work best.
Yeah. Longevity.
People connect to something that feels entirely like real, like you can sense it, you know, like that tune you just sent me. It's just like, and you can tour with that, not now, but like in general.
Yeah.
If there wasn't COVID, eventually it is on the ground, and you build over a year, two, three, whatever, four, 5 years, like building these projects. You get to a point where you just fully fucking respected for what you do.
Yeah, that Roback dude, he tours more than us, mate.
That's what I'm saying. 100%. Probably gets paid really, like, dope fees, goes to dope fucking places, playing dope clubs, dope festivals. So do we. But I'm saying, you know, that's the other side.
Other world, baby. Yeah.
It's another world. And what, just like fucking taking ketamine and making tunes? Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I've got my second release of next year, or third release, but second release on the label is, like, I think you've heard it, but it's a record that I know I'm going to have to make a short version for Spotify and Apple Music and any other local streaming platform. But I don't want to. But I know that because
manager Ryan.
It's not even manager Ryan, I don't think. But I think it's label team are like, you kind of have to, because otherwise it's not going to get a look in. But the record is made to just listen from the beginning.
Why, how about you're like, fuck off. This is what it is. That's one track. That's one track out of all your releases. That is the purpose. You've just said it. That is the purpose of this song.
Because I know that I want this song to be heard by more people. And that's not for a financial gain. That's not for anything like that.
Yeah.
That's purely because the record for me is a special record, and it means a lot to me, and it means a lot to the singer who's on. And the singer who's on it, a guy called Ollie Norton, I'm absolutely loving what he does. He's like a local kid. He's like in his mid-20s, local guy from around my area, and has some crazy talent with his voice. And
what song is it?
Place I Belong. And I want it to be successful for him.
Yeah.
And the only way it's going to do that is by making it from a 6.5 minute record to a 3 minute record.
Yeah. This is tough.
It's weird,
it's
isn't
tough.
It?
It's tough. It's tough. I believe you have to go with your guts.
Yeah.
You know? I have to go.
I just wish Spotify, but it's not even Spotify or Apple. But I wish they would just allow dance music to kind of push through a bit more. They do a great job. And it's at the end of the day, it's down to the people listening, really.
Yeah.
But now is the only time when we listen to radio edits. It's the only time. Never before. Radio edits were never a thing in dance music. Unless it was commercial.
Are your speakers on?
No.
Yeah, I'm just hearing this crazy like latency delay.
It's probably the internet.
The internet.
Yes.
Well, mate, it's been 2.5 hours.
Oh, we're wrapping this up. Fucking hell, it's 9:45.
Yeah, don't want to cut it short, but yeah, it's been 2.5 hours of talking absolute nonsense.
Yeah, what have we spoke about? Well, it's been wonderful to talk. Happy fucking New Year. And
thanks.
It's great to have you on for the first one of the year.
Yeah, that is dope.
I had
when
to.
When is this coming out?
Tuesday.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Sick.
Man.
Well, I have to do the side project, but I just don't know how.
Just don't tell anyone.
Yeah, but how do we do, like, wear a mask? Do I wear, like, we're going to have to do some weird
voice. No, I think it's going to be, oh, what, podcast?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the thing. How do you do? Do you wear, like...
You're going to have to change your voice.
Yeah, so I was like...
Yeah. Well, you can't do it in your fucking studio because everyone's seen it.
No, it'll be another studio.
I did a podcast with Jake Hanrahan, who's this like conflict journalist. Fucking dope podcast if you haven't checked it out.
No, I haven't checked it out.
And he did this insane documentary on YouTube about 3D gun printing in Europe. And that was what his voice sounded like, the gun printer. It's like that.
It goes like this.
Yeah, yeah.
It goes into like some weird like vocals like that. Yeah.
Literally, yeah. I love it. Right, dude. Love you lots, nice, man.
I love you.
Keep safe.
We'll talk to you shortly.
Probably soon.
All right.
Peace out.
Big love, bro. Love thanks you, for having me.
Big love. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
And that is a wrap. It was a good one. I really enjoyed it. It was good to start the year off with a long one. I feel like I could have spoken with him for ages. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please share it with your friends, hit the review button, do all of the good things to keep those podcasts going. See you soon, people. Big love. Keep safe.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.